My iPhone updated to iOS 17 without me knowing about it. And now it pretty much messed up my Braille display. So like if I try to like reply to someone's email, it just starts inserting random characters when they're not supposed to be in there. And so what I end up having to do is turn my rotor over to edit and then, select all the text and just cut everything out of that entire email thread, and then it works fine. But I'm just curious, is anybody else that's using a Braille display, is anyone else having this issue?
This wasn't so much with a Braille display, but it happened to me with a Bluetooth keyboard and also with a wired keyboard on my iPhone. I started having problems with many different apps, and it would insert letters, and sometimes it would start saying a quick nav on, quick nav off, over and over. There is a setting in there somewhere called keyboard full access or full access to keyboard. If that is set to on, I can almost guarantee you're going to have trouble when using a Bluetooth keyboard or actually any external keyboard. I turned that setting on, I unchecked that setting, and the problem totally went away.
If you go into settings and just do a search in your settings for keyboard access, one of the results is where Jerry says that you can go, you can double tap on that, and you'll actually see, I think it says hardware keyboard, and even switch it on or off for full access on or off. So that's where you would do that, evidently.
I have for the past 2, almost 3 years now, I've been learning the Mac. There's a program that somebody had helped me install like 3 years ago when I first got it. It's called Audio Hijack. I have to update it, and I'm just kind of a mess at how to do it. And I didn't know, I just wanted to put it out there. If there was anybody out there that uses the Mac and Audio Hijack, if they would be willing to kind of walk me through it on the phone or something, updating it.
I'll help you do it. My workplace uses Microsoft 365, M365, and Outlook 365, and been using it for years. Now they've gone and added another automatic message at the beginning of every email I get that's unusual, like from a sender that I don't often get an email from. It says something like, "You don't often receive messages from so and so. Please check, and this is why." And it gives you a link to which I tried today, takes you to I don't know, a Microsoft web page about phishing. And it is right in the body of the email. So, I have all my Outlook messages read automatically as I open each one. And now it reads this little, it's like two sentences and a link. Like, I don't want to hear that in front of every time I'm trying to read an email. So I was wondering if anyone else noticed it, has it, or knows how to get rid of it.
You might be able to use the JAWS dictionary and just put that whole block of text and then make it either just say one letter or a sound, or you might be able to shorten it that way.
Do you think it might be a different color or a different font or something, something that's different from the rest of the
I haven't investigated that, but I can check that.
because that might be a way of filtering it out so that your scheme for that for email may just, not see that, make it so
Yeah,
it's
right.
invisible to it.
If it's on multiple lines, I wonder what would happen if you did the dictionary manager for one line of it, and then another line of it, and then another line of it.
Yeah, do them
And then,
separately.
like Mika said, just replace it with a sound or something like that.
Yeah.
If you said, for example, the very last character in all of that garbage was like a right bracket or something like that,
Yeah.
it's consistently the same thing. You might set a place marker for that right bracket. So then once you open the message, you hit the letter K
Yeah.
and boom, it jumps you right to
To
that
the end of
right
that.
bracket and then put it in say all mode from there.
David, can you just quickly say what the command is for creating a string of text that you use often and then being able to reuse it?
Yeah, it's called auto text. So first thing is you select that text, then you hit Alt F3, which puts you in a place where you can assign some little shortcut, type in some very short little thing, and hit enter, and that assigns it auto text. So the next time you go in there, you type that little text, you immediately hit F3, and it spits out that text for you, retypes you that text.
And David, is
Got a
that in
question?
Windows or Office?
Oh, that's Microsoft Office. So that is, Word and Outlook. I guess you could use it in PowerPoint, but who would ever do it there? So Word and Outlook.
I'm interested in anyone who has a good way to read financial information that I get either on the web or that I download that is in rows or columns, you know, for reading statements or for reading stock information or anything like that. Their table form on the web, I think, are the most challenging ones for me. Anything where there's a lot of information, a lot of rows and columns, how do you get that to really present smaller bits of information so that you can understand what is going on with that information rather than everything at once?
If it's a PDF, the bad news is financial PDFs are pretty much awful. But in terms of your question about on the web, you know, if you use your standard navigation keys, T to jump to a table, Control Alt, and your four arrow keys to move around inside the table, if the table has been set up with accessibility in mind, then it should be okay because you'll hear the column headers as you move left and right and the row headers as you move up and down. If it has not been put together with accessibility in mind, then you got a mess on your hands.
One thing you could work around right with that is that a lot of times there's a way you could download the data and you may have to kind of call help desk to find out where that actually is. When you do that, you get a nice little spreadsheet. Or if not a spreadsheet, a comma-separated file, which is nice. So once you do that, you can open Excel. And once you're in Excel, you could actually start labeling things yourself. Like you use the naming function to name a region of that spreadsheet itself. So
I know that Gmail is going to stop supporting the basic mode. And that is something I'm really used to, although I bet the standard one has a lot of good features that I'm probably not that good at yet. And I wondered if anyone could recommend a good way to learn how to get good at that, the standard version.
Jerry, didn't you do a Vibug demo on the standard Gmail?
I did. Wrongly prefer the standard mode. It works better. There's more of a learning curve, but it definitely works better. And there is a section in Gmail on how to use it with a screen reader. There's a help file there, and you have to make sure you have shortcuts turned on. Other than that, just follow those instructions.
Freedom Scientific, Vespero, whatever you're calling them, if you look through their learning stuff, I think they did something on Gmail and the advantages of standard and basic as well.
FreedomScientific.com/webinars.
I can't stand, you know, Gmail as opposed to Outlook for the very simple reason that once you open a message, you got to down arrow like 15 times till you actually get to the body of the message itself. Does anybody have like an efficient way once you open a message to immediately start reading it? You know, with JAWS and Outlook, you hit enter once and boom, you're right in the body of the message reading and save.
I used Gmail in standard mode for a whole year while working at Perkins, working from home. I never used Outlook once, and I found it pretty efficient. You definitely have to turn off the virtual cursor. Standard mode doesn't work at all if you have the cursor on. There are a lot of commands like GI takes you to your inbox. Then if you want to open a message, you hit enter, and then you hit the letter N, and it starts reading it. It will not read a really long message, but it'll read more than just a preview of it. It'll read maybe the first paragraph or so. And if you need to read more than that, you really have to, when you have to read something longer, I just turned the virtual cursor back on and found my way down to it. But 90% of the time, it would read the whole message.
You're saying hitting N with the virtual PC cursor off will bring you right to the body of the message?
It should. Yeah, I haven't done it for a while, but I'm quite sure that's the way I used to do it. An important thing, too, is after you finish reading that message, you hit the letter U to get back to the inbox. I know it's all very logical.
Yeah, I have a question about the VLC media player. I downloaded this a couple of weeks ago, specifically because I'm interested in doing some timestamps for video editing, and this media player has that capacity. So I've been working with an AVI format, and I can get the player to do the timestamps okay. But the difficulty I'm having is that when I'm playing my recording and I press the space bar and it plays, and then I hear the part that I want to cut out, let's say it's a 6 or 7 second segment that I'm going to delete, then I press the space bar again, but by that time, the good part has already started. So I want to rewind just to the point where the cut will end. And the only rewind keystroke that I know is left arrow, which seems to go back about 5 seconds. It's kind of a big jump. And I don't need precision work down to the millisecond. I don't need like 3 decimal points out of fine tuning. Are there some JAWS scripts that people know of? Does it work better in NVDA? Are there some ways that I can get greater control and feedback of the rewind and the forward wind so that I can position the cursor appropriately to do the timestamp in the place that I want it to be?
This isn't the answer anybody would want to hear, but I think Reaper is really the right solution for a situation like that. It's difficult to learn, but it is very accessible, and you may be able to learn just what you need to know to do a specific thing like that without having to learn all the 5,000 commands that are available.
Can you tell me more about Reaper?
Reaper is a non-destructive audio recording and editing program, and it also handles video. I don't know about that AVI format, but I know that it handles other video formats, mm-hmm. such as, I think it's VCF and some of the more common ones that are used. It allows very precise editing right down to the quarter of a second, and you can mark places and get back to them easily. You can delete sections. It's an extremely powerful program that's used a lot by blind musicians and other professionals in the recording industries. Definitely a great program if you have the determination to learn to use it. It's $60 if you choose to pay for it, but it's one of those programs that you can get and use it as long as you want without paying anything for it.
When I used the Windows for quite a while, I used Audacity, and that was really good. That would do what you're wanting to do. And I think that's even simpler than Reaper.
From what I've been told, yes, it does.
And I'm wondering if somebody gets Goldwave brand new, like today, do they still, if you're using JAWS, the JAWS scripts?
Yeah, that they don't come with Goldwave itself. They don't come with the program.
And a second quick question related to Goldwave. I got an email from somebody a couple of days ago who thought I knew more about Goldwave than I did. And he said he had just downloaded the newest version of Goldwave, which is 6.78 or something. His rewind F5 and his fast forward F6 didn't work anymore. Is that a problem if you're most up to date as you can be?
Yeah, no, I'm not aware of it because I'm using the latest version. I haven't had that issue. So